Exodus 28, these are the words of God. Now take Aaron your brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister to me as priest. Aaron and Aaron's sons, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. And you shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother, for glory and for beauty. So you shall speak to all who are gifted artisans, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garment to consecrate him, that he may minister to me as priest. And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate, an ephod, a robe, a skillfully woven tunic, a turban, and a sash. So they shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother and his sons, that he may minister to me as priest. They shall take the gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and the fine linen, and they shall make the ephod of gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine woven linen, artistically worked. It shall have two shoulder straps joined at its two edges, and so it shall be joined together. And the intricately woven band of the ephod which is on it shall be of the same workmanship, made of gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine woven linen. Then you shall take two onyx stones and engrave on them the names of the sons of Israel, six of their names on one stone and six names on the other stone, in order of their birth, with the work of an engraver in stone, like the engravings of a signet. You shall engrave the two stones with the names of the sons of Israel. You shall set them in settings of gold. And you shall put the two stones on the shoulders of the ephod as memorial stones for the sons of Israel. So Aaron shall bear their names before Yahweh on his two shoulders as a memorial. You shall also make settings of gold. And you shall make two chains of pure gold, like braided cords, and fasten the braided chains to the settings. You shall make the breastplate of judgment. Artistically woven according to the workmanship of the ephod, you shall make it. Of gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine woven linen, you shall make it. It shall be doubled into a square, a span shall be its length, and a span shall be its width. And you shall put settings of stones in it, four rows of stones. The first row shall be a sardius, a topaz, and an emerald. This shall be the first row. The second row shall be a turquoise, a sapphire, and a diamond. The third row a jacinth, an agate, and an amethyst. And the fourth row a beryl, an onyx, and a jasper. They shall be set in gold settings. And the stones shall have the names of the sons of Israel, 12 according to their names, like the engravings of a signet, each one with its own name. They shall be according to the 12 tribes. You shall make chains for the breastplate at the end, like braided cords of pure gold. And you shall make two rings of gold for the breastplate, and put the two rings on the two ends of the breastplate. Then you shall put the two braided chains of gold in the two rings, which are on the ends of the breastplate. The other two ends of the two braided chains you shall fasten to the two settings, and put them on the shoulder straps of the ephod in the front. You shall make two rings of gold, and put them on the two ends of the breastplate, on the edge of it, which is on the inner side of the ephod. Two other rings of gold you shall make, and put them on the two shoulder straps, underneath the ephod, towards its front, right at the seam, above the intricately woven band of the ephod. They shall bind the breastplate by means of its rings, to the rings of the ephod, using a blue cord, so that it is above the intricately woven band of the ephod, and so that the breastplate does not come loose from the ephod. So Aaron shall bear the names of the sons of Israel on the breastplate of judgment over his heart when he goes into the holy place as a memorial before Yahweh continually. And you shall put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be over Aaron's heart when he goes in before Yahweh. So Aaron shall bear the judgment of Israel, of the children of Israel, over his heart, before Yahweh, continually. You shall make the robe of the ephod all of blue. There shall be an opening for his head in the middle of it. It shall have a woven binding all round its opening, like the opening in a coat of mail, so that it does not tear. And upon its hem you shall make pomegranates of blue, purple, and scarlet, all round its hem, and bells of gold between them, all round. A gold bell and the pomegranate, a golden bell and the pomegranate, upon the hem of the robe all round. And it shall be upon Aaron when he ministers, and its sound will be heard when he goes into the holy place before Yahweh and when he comes out, that he may not die. You shall also make a plate of pure gold and engrave on it, like the engraving of a signet, Holiness to Yahweh. And you shall put it on a blue cord, that it may be on the turban. It shall be on the front of the turban. So it shall be on Aaron's forehead, that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things which the children of Israel hallow in their holy gifts. And it shall always be on his forehead, that they may be accepted before Yahweh. You shall skillfully weave the tunic of fine linen thread. You shall make the turban of fine linen. You shall make the sash of woven work. For Aaron's sons you shall make tunics, and you shall make sashes for them, and you shall make hats for them for glory and beauty. So you shall put them on Aaron your brother, and on his sons with him. You shall anoint them, consecrate them, and sanctify them, that they may minister to me as priests, and you shall make for them linen trousers to cover their nakedness. They shall reach from the waist to the thighs. They shall be on Aaron and his sons when they come into the tabernacle of meeting, or when they come near the altar to minister in the holy place, so that they do not incur iniquity and die. It shall be a statute forever to him and to his descendants after him. So for the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word, the Lord now turns our attention to the ordaining of the priesthood and the ministry that they are going to be performing in the tabernacle. He first commands these articles of clothing for the priests, because man needs help, atonement, representation, in order to be safe before God. Even Aaron, being the high priest, is not safe before God and his sons, especially as we're going to find out in Leviticus chapter 10. He needs safety from God, that is given by God, in order to have safety that is before God, in the presence of God. Several times we read either that he may not die or that he may be accepted, and so forth. And all of these things we know are pointing us forward to Christ. Christ is the one who is our safety. His blood is the blood that atones. His righteousness is the righteousness that stands for us before God. And God, of course, knows that and makes display to us of the fact that even now, as he passes over in forbearance the sins that come before, it is on account of the righteousness of Jesus, and especially the sacrifice of Jesus, whom God will exhibit, set forth as a propitiation when Jesus dies on the cross and endures the wrath of God in the place of our sins. Romans 3 doesn't forget that these things were being done when it says to show that Jesus dying on the cross showed his righteousness at that present time, because he had passed over the former sins and borne with them in forbearance, but had now, by the cross, displayed that he is just and justifier of the one who has faith in Christ Jesus. The clothing in this chapter, the procedure in this chapter, and all of the procedure of all of the sacrifices, did not take away sin or atone for sin. God was forgiving sin on the basis of the sacrifice that Jesus would offer. And so he was making display of that to the people, so that they who did not know yet, Jesus had not come, there were many things, many details that they could not understand, and yet God taught them about Christ, and they were responsible to believe in the representation of the one who would come, who is the great high priest, to believe in the atoning value of his blood, and that he would, as their mediator, cause them to be counted righteous and holy unto God. And so the first great thing that the Lord teaches in these six articles of clothing that he has commanded here is representation before God. Even the ephod, which is made out of the same sorts of material as the finest fabric parts of the tabernacle, with not just the fine woven linen, but the gold and blue and purple and scarlet thread. It has onyx stones, these black stones that would stand out against this fine woven linen and these colorful threads. And engraved on the stone on each shoulder were six of the names of the tribes of Israel on each shoulder, all the tribes of Israel. And so he wore on his shoulders the fact that he was not there representing himself. He was there because he has been appointed as a public person, as a representation or a mediator for the people of God. And then there was the breast piece. It's a little bit misleading, the word plate, because we think, when we hear the word plate, we think of a hard material, like metal, probably. But it's actually a pouch. The breast piece is artistically woven of the same thing, gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine woven linen. It's a pouch with embroidered into it and attached by the embroidery 12 more stones in these four rows of three stones each. And each one of these gemstones being different and having the name of one of the tribes on it, continuing to emphasize now that every single person among God's people are being represented by the high priest as he stands before God, and that the mediation of the high priest before God is in their behalf, but also that the wisdom and instruction and providence of God that God gives to his people is specifically for each one of them. And there were two things. We think that they are stones from other passages called Umim and Thummim. We've put in your booklet the different verses, and there aren't very many of them that refer back to the Umim and Thummim in the rest of the Old Testament. Numbers 27, verse 21, Deuteronomy 33, verse 8, 1 Samuel 14, verse 41, 1 Samuel 28, verse 6, Ezra 2, verse 63, in Nehemiah 7, verse 65. And in the last two cases, the use of the words Umim and Thummim is that they didn't have them, that they were waiting for another high priest in whom the perfect wisdom of God could be delivered to his people. But it seems to have been something like casting lots, perhaps the Umim on the one side or the Thummim on the other side would be indicating a yes or no, and selecting between two different things. The point, however, is that the Umim and Thummim are in the breast piece, the breast pouch, if we say it that way, of judgment that is over Aaron's heart. So the idea is that he is not allowed to control his own heart in what he does before the people of Israel. The Lord is controlling his heart. And then the 12 individual stones of different kinds, each with a name of a tribe, teaching every one of God's people to consider themselves personally represented in the Lord Jesus. Or in the high priest. And for you, it's the Lord Jesus. And what this teaches you is that you are not only to think of the Lord Jesus as the great high priest who represents his people corporally, corporately and in a unified way, but that he is also your personal representative before God, that he stands and he intercedes for you. He prays for you. He pleads the atonement of his blood for you, that his blood has taken away your sin, and seeking from God for you that perfect wisdom, that perfect instruction, that perfect judgment, so that even as you study the Bible or pay attention in family worship and the Holy Spirit is helping you, your particular understanding of the Bible as you grow and and understand and apply, and the Holy Spirit gives it to you. That is something that has been personally purchased for you by the Lord Jesus as your priest. So there's that personal representation. In the second place, his clothing teaches us this return to paradise, especially with the pomegranate. You remember the combination in especially the sealing and the inner veil of the holy place, the embroidery of these pomegranates, reminding us of the Garden of Eden and the fact that the lampstand was made to look like a tree with its own buds and flowers and so forth, reminding us that the paradise that Adam has lost is not ultimately lost to man, but that God is going to restore us. There is a last Adam to come. And God is not there saying, one day you'll have trees like that again and nice juicy pomegranates. The point of the paradise was this uninhibited relationship to God. And we get the further hint of that and how he describes the loincloths that Aaron and his sons are supposed to wear, that they will cover their nakedness. Nakedness wasn't a problem until sin. Remember, they were naked and unashamed in the garden as an outward indicator of how completely accepted and holy and unobstructed their fellowship with God was. That's paradise. Uninhibited fellowship with God. Being before him without a spot of sin on us, so that there's no wrath or even, in our case now, not even fatherly discipline left to be exercised when we come at last into the paradise of God and in the Lord Jesus. Not only nothing inhibiting the favor of God towards us, but nothing inhibiting us towards God. That we then, being perfectly holy, will actually enjoy him. There will be nothing that we would rather have than him, or know than him, or do than be with him. I won't have any of the struggles that we have now, trying to keep the Lord's day, when we're so easily distracted by other things, and don't find it the most pleasant and pleasurable thing in the world to meditate on the character of our God, and what he has done, and what that has done for us. Those will be our perfect pleasures at the time. So there's a return to paradise in this language of the pomegranates and the covering of the nakedness. Then the wages of sin will not be there anymore. He wears the blue robe, which is under the ephod, and it has the nice hem at the neck so that it doesn't break down, and it has the other hem at the bottom with the pomegranates and the bells and the tinkling of the bells, not so that when he dies they'll hear that the bells stop and they can come drag him out, but the way it's written here is so that he will not die, that there is a reminder that man is being brought back into the paradise of God, and God is affecting or making the display of that to all the senses, not only sight, but the sound of the bells and the smell also of the incense from the incense altar and so forth. So there's a return to paradise. In the first place, there's a personal representation. In the second place, there's a return to paradise. And in the third place, there is the reversal of the punishment. That not only is Aaron and his sons, or are Aaron and his sons and God's people atoned for, both by the blood that he comes in to offer, and we had in verse 41. You shall anoint them, consecrate them, and sanctify them. But not only is their sin put away, but they are made positively holy to God. And this is the first thing on the top of his head. He's got this hat, this turban, and on the top of the front of the turban is this this golden plate of pure gold engraved on it, holy to Yahweh, is on it, a label that that reminds us that God is consecrating to himself a people, that he is taking his own holiness, which is the perfection of his commitment to himself. Holiness, of course, in God can't be in its most fundamental sense separateness, because God is holy from all eternity. And so holiness is the perfection and intensity of God's own commitment to himself, which when in the context of the creature, does mean separateness, that God is wholly other, that there is no creature to whom he is committed as he is unto himself. And those things that then from among the creatures that he dedicates to himself are holy, and therefore they must be pure and without blemish and sinless, that they would have nothing that is inconsistent with God himself. And so that's how we get the concept of holiness as purity. And here, God has put on the high priest of his people this label that says holiness to Yahweh, reminding us that he clothes us in that perfect sinlessness and that perfect blemishlessness, because he has set us apart to himself. He has taken not even the holy angels, although they are holy, but especially his people, he calls his prized possession and his special treasure. And he says that about his Old Testament people, Exodus 19:5, Deuteronomy 7:6, Deuteronomy 14, verse 2, Psalm 135, verse 4, and it comes to its ultimate fulfillment when we find that he has done so particularly in Christ, not in a hat and a golden plate now, but in his own Son, and united us to him, taking us as a special treasure for himself. And he uses that language in Titus 2, verse 14, 1 Peter 2, verse 9, Revelation 19, verse 8, Ephesians 5, verse 27. And God has reversed the penalty of our guilt, in which we would be under wrath, and he has clothed us in Christ, because he has not just restored us to paradise, but he has reversed our punishment in the Lord Jesus. And so our high priest, the Lord Jesus, is dressed in himself, and he is, as it were, our dressing. He is the white robes, as it were, in which he dresses his people. So let's ask the Lord to help us to understand and appreciate and live in light of the fact that Jesus is personally, for each of us, our representative, the one who restores our fellowship with God, the one who reverses the punishment that we deserve, so that we may not die, so that we may not suffer hell, but may live forever in the blessedness of God. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the way you help your people. And even before Christ came, there was so much about the type of priesthood and the type of intercession that he would be doing in their behalf, that you showed them through these pictures of the clothing that Aaron and the high priests would wear. And Lord, we have a hard time too, even though Christ has come, even though we have the finished scriptures, yet we have difficulty understanding and especially appreciating and living in light of Jesus being our representative, our mediator. And so we pray for the help of your Spirit, that what we have learned from this passage you would help us to remember and that which we have learned even more clearly and powerfully from other passages you would help us to remember, that we would rejoice over belonging to you in Jesus, and have boldness and confidence before you that comes from having him as our high priest. Help us to hate all sin, since you have marked us off in him as holy unto you, but help us instead to live as those who are your special possession, who are devoted unto you. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.